This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Wes, it is February 22nd. It is a very, very important week in the ACC.
You bet. It's the second Atlantic Coast Conference Unity Week. Member institutions will be talking about the progress that they think needs to be made across the board. You may remember this also occurred kind of in the fall, but the Unity Week is part of the ACC Unite. You'll see that logo as well throughout a lot of different things in the conference this week. And Commissioner Jim Phillips offered up a statement to kind of convene Unity Week, if you will. Diversity, inclusion, and a commitment to racial and social equity have been and will continue to be pillars of our organization. Unity Week allows ACC athletes, coaches, and administrators from all backgrounds to come together and celebrate our differences while working together to improve racial and social issues that confront us all. Today's theme of ACC Unity Week is why leadership matters, the importance of leadership in unifying people for a common and positive goal. You can hear much more about it and hear from some of the groundbreaking athletes in the Atlantic Coast Conference tonight, 7 o'clock, an ACC Network special, No Struggle, No Progress. Dallin Cuff will be aboard for that. And as I said, there'll be people from all over the ACC footprint representing institutions and in what should be a very, very informative show tonight at 7 p.m. On ACC Network.
Yeah, I can just vouch for all the student athletes that we've had on the show that fall under that category, that you just hear the vision, the way they handle themselves, understanding the importance. Yeah, sports is important, but hey, there's also a thing called life, and we should all be better at it. And giving back to communities and the whole routine, treating people with respect, that will be out of sight tonight. And hopefully everybody keeps an eye on it, watches it, and understands it, and embraces it, because we can all be better.
You bet. New segment on the show, Worth a Watch. Best of the weekend, kind of, if you will, spinoff of the top plays. Worth a Watch is brought to you by Principal Financial Group.
Oh, nice.
Ready to ride on this pack?
Before we get ready to ride, let's give a little shout out to our sponsor. I have told folks from day one that this will be the most sponsor-friendly show in the history of ESPN. Now, I vouch for that.
You bet.
So if you jump on board as a sponsor on this show, I promise you, you will get a bang for your buck with promotion. So, yeah, a shout out to our sponsor on our first segment. So how about that?
There you go, Principal.
Now, I will
welcome to the Packer and Durham program.
I will say one thing. Chester and Fuller are sound asleep. Well, Fuller's awake. He's down here at my feet. Here's Fuller down here by my feet. See Fuller? The big boy right here.
Yeah, Fuller looks good.
Chester's out.
Looks like you put your feet on him. Yeah, well, Chester is out.
Normally. So it's not going to be a Bojangles 10:05 because the boys are used to it because they know when it's time to roll. But they'll have to get used to maybe a little financial deal because that really – listen – the coin that these two are making, these hounds are making some serious cash, so they might need some financial help. So who better than Principal?
No question. Thanks to Principal for being a part of the Packer and Durham program here on Show 326.
There you go.
Let's get to the Worth a Watch segment. We'll start in Chapel Hill. Dayron Sharp, sign in, please.
Watch out.
Look at this pack.
Big man on the break.
Come on.
Boy, North Carolina, man. They put on a show Saturday night.
RJ Davis tees him up, doesn't he? And Charles Menlin, what are you doing? What are you doing, Charles Menlin?
He's just going to get in the posters what he's going to get. That was just one of those nights. If you're Louisville, you're just like, hey, I don't want to relive it. We remember it.
Right.
We need to get better. But North Carolina's young kids are playing, man. The youngsters are putting up some points. 73 of them.
All right.
73 freshman points in that game for North Carolina.
Yeah.
73 by the freshman.
By the way, we're going to stay with the Tar Heels and Cardinals. Carleek Jones picked Caleb Love like on three straight possessions. Well, the third time, Carlique thought he was going to the rim, and Caleb pinned it on the window, and Armando Bacot ran down the loose change.
This is kind of a fitting highlight for what it looked like for Louisville Saturday, right? Trying to turn something good and just like, yikes, wrong yeah. answer. Next. I mean, North Carolina just played great. Heels looked awfully good.
They sure did. Syracuse's Emma Tyrell lacks now, Packer, behind the back for a goal against Loyola. You watching this?
Fake left, go right.
There we go.
And drops the
stick.
Right
in front of the cage.
Yeah, drops the stick for the hugs afterwards. Look at this. Ooh, that's good. Tell you what. This league.
Congratulations, Emma. Well done.
This league can play some lacrosse. Now, men and women.
Oh, yeah.
It is filthy how good they are. All of them.
All right. Pack mentioned Kelsey Brown of Virginia Tech. Two great catches. Kelsey Brown, sign in, please.
This was the second one. She went face first in the first one. Here's one she slides into the same one. Down there, again, beaver tail divots from 1981 down the third baseline. That used to be where we used to hit golf balls on the Clemson golf team. It's now the softball field.
Nice job. More lacrosse. Brennan O'Neill, another behind the back.
You gotta watch Duke. This one now. This one is so fast, you're not going to believe what happened. Holy mackerel.
Whoa!
Don't let the snow get in the way. Look at that. I watched this thing like five or six times yesterday. I never saw it. It was just like, wait a minute, I'm going to slow this down. Where did it go? Okay. That was spectacular. That was unbelievable.
Like to see Rob Ambrose do a better job of getting that snow off the field at Towson. Okay, last one. Jen Cilio of Georgia Tech. Triple play against Clemson.
One, two, three. Not done yet. Three. See ya. One, two, three. Simple. Piece of cake.
Pretty solid.
Really good.
Pretty solid.
Yep.
All right. What to watch and worth a watch is brought to you by Principal Financial Group. When we come back on this show, Scotty Barnes will join us. Quick reminder to you, though, that ACC Unite, No Struggle, No Progress, airs tonight, 7 o'clock. Dallin Cuff hosts a virtual roundtable celebrating some of the ACC's trailblazers. It'll be a great show. The guest list is really impressive. 7 o'clock tonight, ACC Network and the ESPN app. When we come back, we get a few good minutes with Scotty Barnes. I'm looking forward to talking to the freshman. Unbelievable. Size, skill, and leadership for the Noles. We'll see number 4 on the Packer and Durham show next.
The Packer and Durham podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
And Durham, Power Hour. Scotty Barnes of Florida State will join us here momentarily. We look forward to having him on, make his debut. And, boy, has he been good.
Man.
Florida State's been good. So, with that said, Wes, let's head down to Tallahassee. Bring on Mr. Barnes.
You bet. Yep, Scotty Barnes joins us, the freshman for Leonard Hamilton and the Seminoles. Scotty, thanks for spending some time with us on a Monday. Congratulations on what's been a great season so far.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
So let me ask you, Scotty, has it been what you thought it was going to be? I mean, I know there's no crowd, so that's different, right? Obviously, that's different. But as far as the competition, what's it been like through the eyes of a freshman looking at the ACC?
I would say it's been everything I expected it to be. It's a lot of tough games, a lot of down to the wire games, even though we got some blowouts, physicalities there. It's been a lot that has been expected. I think my coaches and my teammates have prepared me, by talking to me and just telling me wise words of wisdom.
Scotty, there have been big plays, and you've made several of them for Florida State. The down-to-the-wire stuff, though, started early. I mean, I can go all the way back to the Euro step against Indiana. I mean, that seems like it was, I don't know, 2-3 years ago at this point, probably the way the season's gone, right?
It does feel like a long time ago. Season's coming by fast. Still remember we played like it was yesterday. Funny how fast things go.
Scotty, you go from being an all-world player in high school. You roll into Tallahassee. Leonard Hamilton seems like he has 25 guys on the bench that just come in and play minutes. From a mental standpoint, what was the adjustment like going from star player, superstar, to understanding your role in the big picture of Florida State basketball?
I would just say, I'd probably say it started in high school. I played some my senior year of high school. I played with a lot of great players at Montvert that it helped me. I didn't have like a huge role. I played my certain role probably in high school. So I probably say it helped me started from high school. I was a guy that just did my job really at Montvert, rebounding the ball, going to transition, handling the ball at times. It was just things like that. But Leonard Hamilton, he builds a culture at Florida State where it's just everyone, we all are honest and unselfish with each other, which is a key part to that.
Scotty, they were very forthcoming, I'm going to guess with you, because they were with us in talking about you handling the ball and playing the point. Is that what you envisioned at Florida State? Because it looks like it's worked out pretty well.
When I came on my visit, that's what they were just talking to me about. And that's what I just envisioned in my head, me being that point guard facilitating, helping me be the best player I can be, getting me ready for the next step of my life.
All right. So who inspires Scotty Barnes? Who is your game patterned after? Who are your favorite players? Who do you develop from? Who creates your creativity, if you will?
My favorite players are Kobe, Kevin Durant. I would say James Harden, but I don't feel like I really play like none of those players. I would just say I don't really say I would pattern my game after people, but I do watch Ben Simmons. I'd probably say some Giannis. I watch like those players and see how like they play, and then I try to add like certain things to my game. But I wouldn't say I really pattern my game after one or another.
All right, you just listed a bunch of great NBA players. Who's the one guy that you have seen so far in the ACC that does not play for Florida State that you went, wow, dude's got some game, man. Dude can play.
That we play this year?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the guy?
The guy, I was probably, you said that's in the ACC?
In the ACC. Was there a player that you went, son of a gun, he's a baller, man. That guy can flat out play.
Probably Justin Champagne can play. You just looked at the way he affected the game on the defensive side, scoring, making big plays in crunch time. The guy on that team, he just does it all for them, really. Every time we made a run, you could just see he tried to help his team come back and force their will on the game. His presence was well known.
That's a good answer.
Scotty, is a good answer. What's the one thing you would tell maybe a freshman next year? You better be prepared for what?
Florida State, you just got to be prepared to bring it every single day. No days off. You got to ready to be hold yourself and your teammates accountable. Coming to a leadership stage, everyone on this team holds each other accountable. So you just have to be ready, prepared for that, to be a leader on this team. And everyone has a word. Another thing I'll just say, just got to be ready for whenever that time comes, because the moments are going to be there. But you just got to stay humble, you know?
Scotty, yes, on Saturday's game against Pitt, MJ Walker, who's just a tremendous player and a great leader, did not score a single point, but yet he still had an impact on the game. His influence on you as a guy that's been in the league, he's played, he understands you don't get too high, you don't get too low, it's the next play. From a leadership standpoint, what have you absorbed from MJ Walker?
I would just say from the start of the season, from the first game, he helps me so much on the court, helps me run the offense, just helped me stay composed at the biggest moments in the game. He knows what to do down the stretch, telling me certain things, telling me certain looks that's open. How hard he works after practices, before practices, he's a hard worker. He just tells me so many great things on the floor that's very instrumental to helping me get better.
What's your goals? What's your goal for the rest of this season, both collectively with the team and individually?
I'll say for the rest of the season, collectively as a team, you know, we try to win this ACC championship, make a deep run in the tournament. I would say my goals for the rest of the season, I would probably just say I would just really say I'm just trying to get better and just keep trying to help my team win. Our team win as best as possible.
I want to go back to the Virginia game last Monday night. It just seemed like there was a lot more at stake than just a regular game. I mean, Virginia was playing great basketball. You guys felt a little disrespected. And then you put on a show. We all watched it. It was a woodshed job. You guys were great. When that game ended, Scotty, in the locker room, I'm sure there was a lot of celebration and feel good, but was there also a tone of, hey, it's just one game, big picture. You know what? We're allowed to see these guys again. That's a really good team we beat tonight. You tell us, what was it like after a woodshed job against Virginia as far as where this team is, not only within the ACC, but nationally?
I think we try to come into every game with the mindset that it's like it's just a game, but obviously that game meant a little more with them being number one seed and we're being number two seed. So it was had to be a big game for the AC championship, basically for that fight. But I would say the locker room was pretty high energy. Everyone was happy. It was a great win. We got a great win at home, especially. So I'll just say it was a lot of joy, a lot of pride that the new bloods are coming, and we just made that statement on national TV.
Well, you definitely did that. Mm-hmm. Listen, I know you got to get the class, and with that said, final question. Since you've been at Florida State, what has been your hardest course?
I wouldn't say I have any hardest course, but I'll probably say I have, like, a most interesting course that I probably like. It's probably my leadership class. It's my only in-person class. It's like athletes, and we just like talk about like a lot of different things of being a better leader, like just realizing a lot of things that can help us as young athletes.
Yeah, you're getting the job done, my man. Even the dogs are barking in your honor, right? I'm telling you, you are a joy to watch play. Stay healthy, all right, the rest of the way. Best of luck.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thanks, Scotty. Appreciate your time. Scotty Barnes, the freshman star of the Florida State Seminoles, with us on Packer and Durham. Tell you what, a lot of talent in that 6'9 frame, Mark.
Yeah, and listen, he is a guy that you're going to hear as far as the NBA draft and lottery picks and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. I hope he stays at Florida State as long as he's happy, and Leonard hopes he stays there as a senior and gets his degree and everything else. But he's a guy that you're going to see on the next level at some point in time. Yep. And I'll say it again, enjoy them while you have them in the college game. And Florida State is very fortunate to have him, in addition to a ton of talented players.
You bet. And the Noles are part of our Friday triple header of basketball here on ACC Network. You'll see them late night at 8:30 from Coral Gables against Miami. with Mike Monaco and Dan Bonner. When we come back, a quick check of the weekend. And there is an anniversary in sports today that if you're old enough, you know exactly where you were when you heard it. We'll capsule that too when we come back. Packer and Durham on a Monday on the ACC Network.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Packer and Durham, ACC Network, on a Monday. Hope everybody survived the weekend. It's a big week. Big week. Finish off the ladies. Hey, well, by the way, we have women's basketball tonight, Notre Dame and Pitt. We'll get in all that stuff. Irish back playing again. It's been a while for Notre Dame. Huge week for the men, too. I mean, the game tonight is a monster with Duke and Syracuse as far as the big picture goes. And, of course, we got baseball underway, lacrosse. You got the whole thing. We got everything happening, right? We get adios to February. This time next
week, wrestling championships are this week.
Oh, you know it. You know it. This time next week's March, my man. It's March next week. We got big birthdays in the Packer household this week. So we got a little bit of everything going on. Everything happening this week. Big time.
It's not yours because yours is March the 10th.
No, we got a Billy Packer, Barbara Packer combination this week. Billy's birthday is on Thursday, and Barb's on Monday, March 1st.
All right.
Big week. Big week.
We'll get a happy birthday for Billy out there.
They're going to come over to the house on Thursday night. We're having a big celebration here at the house for Billy and Barb.
That'll be nice. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're going to chronicle basketball here for you in just a moment. Do you know today is the 41st anniversary of the 1980 U.S. Olympic hockey team's win against the Soviet Union in Lake Placid, better known as the Miracle on Ice. Mike Arruzioni's goal helped the U.S. beat the Russians 4-3 at Lake Placid in the medal round, of which the U.S. would then go on to win the gold on Sunday. The game was on Friday at Lake Placid in the middle of the afternoon. The story behind this, if you don't remember, and Chester's all excited, I'm sure, about me talking about hockey here, is that the game was not shown live on television. It was tape delayed on ABC for Friday night with Al Michaels on the call with the great goaltender Ken Dryden as the analyst. And so, therefore, some of America knew the outcome, and I was one of those. As a kid in Cary, North Carolina, Pack, and you're going to laugh when I tell you this story. At about 7:30 or 8 o'clock that night, I wasn't watching the Olympics. I was watching just another television channel, a network channel, and they had a news break. You remember the old news breaks that used to run in prime time back in the early 80s? Remember? It was like CBS News Break or ABC News Break. Remember the 2-minute deal at the top of the hour? Remember those?
What were you watching? Like Welcome Back, Cotter, Happy Days? What were you watching? No,
that was on ABC where the Olympics were, so I wasn't watching the Olympics.
Sorry.
I wasn't watching the Olympics. I just had it on another channel.
Battle of the Network Stars?
No, not Battle of the Network Stars. That was also on ABC. So the news break was on CBS. And I'll never forget this. Roger Mudd was doing the news break for CBS. He comes on the news break at 58 minutes after the hour and says, and a major upset in Lake Placid, New York this afternoon where the U.S. hockey team beat the Soviet Union 4-3. And I went, bang, turn the channel. So I saw it from mid-second period till the end of the game on tape delay.
You didn't do bang, did you? Didn't you just walk up and manually flip it over to ABC?
Well, I don't think we had remote control. I think we had a cable box at that time where you go up and push the button. Remember those? Remember the push the button cable box? You had one of those at Bermuda Run?
No, we did not have one of those. We had to manually get up off the couch and go CBS to ABC to NBC. We had three channels. That's all we had.
WXII, WGHP, and WFMY, right?
That's
the three channels you had.
That was correct.
Yeah.
That's it.
Of course, you kept it on Channel 2, so you could watch Woody do the sports at Channel 2.
I did watch Woody do sports on FM1.
Yeah. I did. There you go. So, anyway, I watched the replay in prime time from like mid-second period on of the Olympic hockey team. And then on Sunday, of course, everybody watched the gold medal game live. Remember that? And they trailed early in the final game against Finland, I think it was, who they beat for the gold medal. Mm-hmm. 41 years ago, I was in my parents' house on Castlewood Drive in Cary, North Carolina, watching the gold medal game on tape delay. After hearing about it, hearing the result on another channel.
I did not know the result. I did watch it, and it was cool. Al Michaels with the legendary call. I'm surprised Jay Alter didn't do that game. But nevertheless, Al Michaels had the call. And it was, I mean, it really was one of those, it galvanized America, man. People were fired up.
Yeah, it did.
And listen, growing up in North Carolina, we didn't grow up on hockey. I mean, you might have in Cary as the future home of the Canes, but, in Winston-Salem, we knew about the Winston-Salem Polar Twins, about the closest we had to hockey.
Yep.
So, but it was cool. It was one of those red, white, and blue USA moments as there ever been one. But, it kind of reminded me a little bit, Wes, of NC State winning the national championship, that they had to beat UCLA in the semis. America had to beat USSR basically in the semis, if you will. But then they clinched it later. And people always forget, when NC State beat UCLA for the national title. No, they had to beat Al McGuire and Marquette. Mm-hmm. But it kind of had that same vibe that round was the one. Hey, that was slaying David Goliath, right? That was the deal. But it was cool.
You're right, also that UCLA had beaten NC State earlier in the year in 73-74. Remember, they played in December in St. Louis, kind of that.
Killed them.
Yeah, and then NC State had to come back and beat UCLA in the rematch, which happened to be that Saturday afternoon game in Greensboro. You're right, and the documentaries have been done about the hockey team, of course. Remember, the Soviet Union beat them like 10-0 or 8-0 at Madison Square Garden in some pre-Olympic exhibition game or something like that. And Herb Brooks took that hockey team to Lake Placid, and everybody was hoping, maybe they'll win once or twice. There's, now a long shot to get to the medal round, and if they get to the medal round, they'll have to. Yeah, the Soviets won the match, the game, by the way, at the Garden, 10-3. And in hockey, that's like losing by 45 in Chapel Hill.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's like what happened in Chapel Hill Saturday night. It's exactly what it feels like.
Right?
Yeah.
And we'll tie that to basketball here quick, because Carolina beat Louisville by 45. Pac said it in the first hour today. Carolina starting to do this a little more, ascending.
I like where
the Bigs
going.
Ran the floor. They kind of looked like Carolina, didn't they, Pac?
Yeah, I mean, I think North Carolina is starting to get it. I mean, the young kids are starting to get it. Kind of like Duke's young kids are starting to figure it out. But North Carolina's been more on this ascend for a while. I know that Seth Greenberg mentioned the Virginia game. Yeah, they didn't shoot the ball very well, and that was kind of an ugly Saturday in Charlottesville, but it's been that way for a long time. But other than that, North Carolina's just getting the job done. But how weird has North Carolina been? Their last four ACC games offensively, they have scored 50, 91, 48, and 99. You won't see a stranger list of four games in offensive outputs than what North Carolina's done from that perspective. But I kind of like where they're going. And when they get any kind of consistency on the perimeter, they're a good club. Their bigs are a nightmare for everybody in the country.
Louisville, by the way, 1 of 16 from 3. Carolina's freshmen scored 73 of their 99 against the Cards. Second largest conference win under Roy Williams, who is now one shy of becoming the fastest to 900 career wins.
Pretty good.
And after the game, old Roy, complimentary of the freshmen and his own mortality.
I've said all along that I think our freshmen are going to be good players. My request is to do it during my lifetime, and today it was in the first half. So hope I get to see more than that before I kick out.
Well, we also hope to see Roy co-hosting on Wednesday's show. And now that they've added Marquette, I mean, I'm just taking the coach at his word, right? right?
Yeah.
Game day sure. Wednesday. I mean, I'm expecting to see Packer, Durham, and Roy, right? Wednesday show?
Yeah.
Since they added Marquette. Yeah.
Packer, Durham, and Roy. He's got Marquette at 7 o'clock on ESPN2 with Reese Davis and John Crispin on Wednesday night.
By the way, that's a good pairing.
But,
can I just say something? And I normally don't. I mean, you rattle off all the announcers and all that stuff, which is great. But I like old John Crispin doing games. Can I just say that?
Yeah.
Can I give a shout out to John Crispin?
Yeah, John Crispin. They do a nice job.
Yes,
yeah.
Sir.
John's a good man.
Mm-hmm. Like it.
NC State beat Wake Forest 80-62 over in Winston-Salem on Saturday. Wolfpack got 51 in the first half. First time this year, Pack, that I thought Wake looked out of gas. You know?
I don't know.
I just thought they
looked out of gas against Duke last week. I told you, I didn't think they were.
I
thought they
sure.
were. The Florida State game, they were out of sight in Tallahassee. And really, since then, they look like a team that's ready to get to the finish line. That's what it looks like.
Yeah. So be interested to see kind of. They're supposed to host Clemson on Wednesday afternoon.
Yeah.
And that might be the Tigers off pause, too.
Yeah, I mean, that could be – who knows what teams look like. So we asked Josh Pastner. He's got Virginia Tech tomorrow. We haven't seen the Hokies in weeks. I don't know what that's going to look like. I mean, you saw Louisville Saturday. They were probably looking at each other going, I'm not sure what this is, even though they did see that against Wisconsin when they got beat by 37. Who knows how teams are going to respond? So we
you know,
Clemson's first go-around with COVID, they were kind of ugly for 2 weeks. I don't know what they're going to be like on an afternoon game in Winston-Salem. The Deacs have not looked great the last couple games, even though I think Forbes has done a tremendous job with them this season. So I couldn't even get – only BPI knows. Wes, only BPI knows the outcome of that game.
There you have it. 844-SAY-ACCN. How about Michael in North Carolina? Michael, how are you, sir?
Hey, how y'all doing?
We're good. Hope you are.
Fine.
Doing good. Got a couple questions here for you. The State's freshmen, they have really been improving over the past few road games, and they've been doing a whole lot of damage over the past few road games, too. My question is, do you think, you know, they've always been called cardiac pack. Do you think they'll actually start making a big run towards the end of the season now? And if they do, do you think they'll get there? And
get where?
Wait,
Michael, hold on a second.
NCAA tournament.
NCAA tournament? No, I do not. They're going to have to win the tournament.
Even if
For NC State to get into the NCAA tournament, they're going to have to win it all in Greensboro. I mean, they are 80th in the net. They're 2-8 against quad one and quad two. They've got some ugly L's. They've played much better, like you said, down the stretch here on the road. But as far as the NCAA tournament goes, they're going to have to win in Greensboro.
But it's possible.
Well, I mean, anything's possible. I mean, it's possible I could hit 6 lottery tickets and up my percentage of inaccuracy rate and win millions of dollars. I think NC State's chances of doing that are better than me hitting those 6 numbers. But for NC State to be in the NCAA tournament, without Devin Daniels, they're going to have to win in Greensboro. They're going to have to win the tournament.
They're going to have somebody step to the forefront. To win the ACC tournament, they're going to have somebody do a Randolph Childress. They're going to have somebody go off in 4 straight games.
Yeah.
I mean, from a scoring perspective,
Would you rather them be in doing like they did against Wake, having everybody scoring like a team effort, or just one person going off?
Well, they're going to have
everybody
over the span of a tournament like Greensboro. You're going to have the teams you're going to play. You're going from Wake Forest up. In other words, you're in the group with Wake Forest right now,
right,
along with Miami and Boston College. You're going to go up. You're going to have to get somebody to go get 25-30, 22-30 every night in the ACC tournament in Greensboro to win that tournament. That's my opinion. Somebody will have to go have a stage-grabbing performance in Greensboro in order to give NC State a chance to win that tournament.
I think the good news for NC State, Wes, is that they have not quit, because it would have been really
correct
easy for NC State to just kind of go, hey, you know what? We're going nowhere fast. Let's just get to the end of the regular season. But the fact that they've been able to go on the road and win games, I go back to that Pitt game. I didn't think they had any business. I didn't think they'd win that game. They did. They beat Wake Forest. Okay, you beat the Deacs, and you look good doing it. It's putting the 80 spot up. But I like the fact that those kids have bought in to what Kevin Keats is trying to sell. And to me, that is as much of an accomplishment as anything, given COVID, the pandemic, no fans. You look at the standings, we're down the bottom third. Hey, it'd be easy just to say, man, don't worry about it. You know, we're going to be a 12, 13, 14, 15 seed. Don't worry about it. We'll do our thing. The fact that they're playing hard and playing well down the stretch, to me, is a terrific sign if you're an NC State fan as far as the future goes. But to be realistic about the NCAA tournament, like I said, I don't mean to be disrespectful, but the only way that's going to happen is to run the table in Greensboro. You're not going to be an at-large team.
The other thing affecting the Wolfpack is they are now in the group that is two games behind that next group in front of them. And that's a lot of ground to make up to just create the conversation.
Yeah, that's...
Now, even when you create the conversation, you don't put yourself in a position to say, because that next group is Duke and Georgia Tech, who we're talking about has to win out to even get in the NCAA tournament. Wes, you're two games behind that group. That's what we're saying here.
I don't even think that's important. I'll tell you why. Because the quad one and two, that you've got to have numbers in quad one and two for your entire body of work. And today, this moment, at 9:42 a.m. on February 22nd, NC State has a grand total of two quad one and quad two wins. That is not going to get you in the tournament. So regardless of where you're on the standings, that number alone tells you everything you need to know with your body of work, period.
There you go. All right. Thanks, Michael. Appreciate the call. When we come back, we'll get you ready for Duke Syracuse tonight. Don't you love the irony of the ACC schedule? 7 years ago to the day, after the head coach of the Orange was shown the early door, he goes back to Cameron to see Red Hot Duke. Final show, or final segment of the Monday show is next.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Packer and Durham.
Don't forget, coming up tonight, ACC Unite, No Struggle, No Progress. Dallin Cuff will feature representatives from all 15 ACC schools, combination of trailblazers, current student athletes, coaches, and administrators to discuss insights, learnings, and experiences while focusing on a path forward. 7 o'clock tonight, right here on ACC Network and the ESPN app. Hope you'll join them. And by the way, basketball follows that. Notre Dame at Pittsburgh, right behind that at 8 o'clock tonight, Pac.
Yeah, like I said, it'd be good to see Notre Dame playing again. I mean, the ladies have been off for, it seems like, forever. And a chance for them to break the tie with Wake Forest and Virginia Tech at 500 in league play. So it was kind of a crazy weekend for the ladies, with Louisville going down, NC State with a win. Georgia Tech was upset by BC. Last week of the regular season, it's go time for the ladies. All right, Wes, I mentioned earlier about...
What'd you get?
I got the gift earlier for the bourbon balls, the Woodford Reserve bourbon balls, which were spectacular. I got a gift, again, totally unexpected. This box right here arrived, I guess, Friday afternoon. I had no idea what it was. And so I opened this bad boy up.
Fuller's eyeballing you like something's coming up now. Fuller is eyeballing you from the floor now like, hey, man, what are you doing in that box?
Brother Fulwell. Brother, where's Buddy West? He wants to know where Buddy West is. So this comes from this comes from Wake Forest. All right. So I'm thinking, all right, what is it? So I do one of these. I'm thinking, if it's fragile, now it's broken. It wasn't fragile. So I open it up, and it's pretty cool now. You're gonna like this. We all got ourselves a Wake Forest basketball.
Wow.
Right there. Like that.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Like that.
Nice. Yeah.
So I believe this is going to
Nike, real one.
Yeah, it's the real deal. So we appreciate the Deacs hooking us up. So I think this bad boy is going to be tomorrow behind me somewhere, right? We got to. You sent us some cool stuff like this. This goes front row in the basement. So I'll redecorate tomorrow, and so the Wake Forest basketball will be front and center. Coach Forbes and company, Coach Hoover and company.
Make sure you save a spot for Pastner's face shield that's coming to you.
That's coming. It's coming.
Yeah. Josh Pastner's face shield. He's going to autograph it for you so you can put it in the basement right around the syrup. Are you trying to palm it like Connie Hawkins?
I did.
Is that what you're doing?
Just did.
Did you? Look at that. All right. Look at there now. Oh, look. Yeah. Turnover.
No, I did not do that on purpose.
Unforced error.
I was done on purpose. All right. Okay. So there you go. Bourbon balls and Wake Forest basketball. Pretty nice. Like it.
By the way, it's come to our attention, Packer and Durham research staff. I think this might have been back row Hank who told us that we're celebrating the anniversary of John Gillen's half-court shot at the Dome to beat Duke, too. Not only Boeheim's early exit at Cameron 7 years ago today, John Gillen's half-court shot to beat the Blue Devils in a wild night in Central New York, by the way. Talk about a game. That was a great Duke-Syracuse game.
They've had some good ones now. Syracuse and Duke, again, the only thing missing are fans, right? I mean, the Dome's not quite the same. Cameron's certainly not the same without the fans. But nevertheless, these two have played some unbelievable games, and I cannot emphasize enough what's at stake for both of them tonight. And by the way, I noticed that the BPI has gone up for Duke since the beginning of the show. Because I wrote down 60.5.
What?
Look, it's 61.6. So during the course of the show.
It's already gone up again? Was it like the market?
I didn't know. But I just saw that number pop up. I know I didn't write down 61.6. I wrote down earlier 60.5 on the BPI. So it's gone up during the show.
Wait.
Who knew? Who knew?
Why?
Even more good news for Syracuse.
How does that happen? How at 7 o'clock is it 60.5, and at 9:40-something, 9:50-something, it's now 61.6? How does that happen?
Because
has something happened? Has somebody taped an ankle? What? Now we got to get down to the nitty-gritty on this, okay? I was willing to play along with the game and start talking about it and have fun with the BPI, and now we got moving percentages?
It's funny. Keep telling you this. I called them out 3 weeks ago. I am not buying any of it. I'm not buying it. I don't care. I know I'm a part ESPN employee. I'm the team guy. Hey, I'm calling
you out. How does this happen?
I think there's a total, there's something fishy about the whole deal. Just telling
you. Did somebody buy something of a startup company of some sort to increase Duke's wealth in the marketplace in the last couple hours?
Don't know. It's good news for Syracuse, though.
Was it not? It was 60.5 at 7 o'clock, wasn't it?
I wrote it down.
60.5, right?
Yep, 60.5.
It's gone up a point in 2 hours and change?
Yep, 1.1%, right.
What happened?
Wes, you're asking the wrong
Malachi
guy.
Malachi Richardson going to show up? Or I mean, what is J.J. Redick coming in the building? Grayson Allen? You know, is somebody coming in the jersey, wearing a jersey tonight? I love this. We've now got moving BPI percentages, Pack. I didn't want to fall to your side, but I'm now starting to fall to your side.
Yeah, I'm not.
Didn't want to do that.
Always transparent. Not always right, but transparent. There's something wrong with it. There's some fishy about the BPI. Nobody seems. We got friends of BPI and all that nonsense. I don't know what the story is. I do not.
Drew, Josh. This be something that is uncovered by our I-team of investigators later in the week?
So, no, we can actually explain this pretty easily. Show prep does not start at 7 a.m. Show prep starts really early for the guys in the back row. And the BPI numbers change overnight at some point. So when we started our show prep, it was 60 point whatever. And then come the new update, on February 22nd, it is now 61.6%.
That's fine. I got no issue with that. But something had to alter the number.
I mean, it's just like net, right? Like Duke doesn't necessarily have to play, but they still might go up in net. I don't know what happened overnight because it's not like Syracuse played yesterday either.
Yeah, but the net number changes because of other games can affect it. Nothing has affected Syracuse or Duke specifically since yesterday. to my knowledge.
Right. You are absolutely correct. I want to point this out from our good friends at BPI, that regardless of what that number says, they're never wrong.
Right.
So,
you know, I told you I got a note last week that somebody who watches us religiously has a theory that you, Drew, and Josh are the friends of BPI, that you guys are BPI.
That I appreciate the sentiment, but if you knew us, you would know that we are nowhere near smart enough
to concoct something like that.
That's way above our pay grade. Way above our pay grade.
I don't think that,
and here's the other thing, too. I'm not sure we're making fast friends within the walls of the entertainment and sports programming network by
calling him out,
going after BPI either.
Well, you're not sure about that?
No, I am sure
about it. And, you know, I've been up there twice. I don't expect to be back or invited back, so I'm not worried about that part. All I know is when I went up there in August of 2019 for rookie camp, and we saw every square inch of the campus. Not one time did we see the BPI slash FPI factory, the corner. We were never allowed near that, whatever that
what
was.
What building is BPI FPI in, by the way?
We can't tell you that because then you'd come back and try to meet new friends.
It's Area 51.
Don't come here looking for FPI or BPI. Just don't do it.
I mean, we got Perseverance on Mars, but we don't know what BPI is, right?
Remember when we walked by the Stats and Info people? They all look pretty normal. I remember going by the Stats and Info people. They look pretty normal.
Right. I didn't have an issue.
That was over there by Fantasy Football, wasn't it?
Right.
That was over there by Matthew Berry in Fantasy Football. I remember Stats and Info. That's where we saw Felica.
Right.
We saw that corner office Felica's got with all the windows.
All right, so enough about BPI. If you had to put a percentage on the game tonight, what would your percentage be?
When in doubt, go with the home team.
50-50.
Yeah.
50-50.
Right. When in doubt, go to the home team.
I think it's going to be a great ball game, by the way. I really do. I think it'll be a really good game. And I'll say this. I think Jamin Brakefield of Duke and Kadari Richmond of Syracuse play critical, critical roles for their teams. Sean McDonough, Corey Alexander, the call for you tonight at 7 o'clock on ESPN. I'm excited. Tomorrow on this show, St. Louis, Missouri's Jericho Helms. We're going to get into the influence of St. Louis, Missouri on ACC basketball as well, along with Paige Madden of Virginia Swimming and Clemson softball coach John Rittman, a full Tuesday. Stay safe. See you tomorrow.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.